David was at the warehouse, moving goods from the storeroom to the sales floor, when he saw an Ndebele man, dressed in a khaki uniform, consisting of a smart short-sleeved tunic and a pair of pants reaching as far as the knees. Standing at the front door, he looked rather out of place. It was becoming more common to see Matabele men wearing European clothing, especially in those uniforms representing particular industries or types of business. David put his load down and walked over to the man.
"I see you," he said in his best Zindebele. "How may I help you?"
He noticed that the man wore a shiny leather belt around his waist with a polished brass buckle, something that a government department might issue to its staff.
"I see you, sir," he broke into a broad and friendly smile. "I am from the post office. I have a telegram."
"Excellent," David exclaimed. It could only be from Morris, and David quickly assumed Morris had arrived in Ireland quite safely.
"Thank you."
The post office man handed David a brown envelope and opened a small notebook.
"You must write your name here, if you please, sir," he suggested.
David took a pencil out of his pocket and scribbled his name where he saw a small X next to the name Langbourne Brothers, and returned the notebook to the young man. They exchanged a few more brief pleasantries before the post office man departed, but the moment he walked out, Tembela slipped into the warehouse looking somewhat concerned.
"Bus David," she panted, "Bus Rui says you must come now. Someone is waiting to see you."
David sighed.
"All right, thank you, Tembela,"
he nodded, looking over his shoulder to meet Harry's eyes. David signalled with a simple gesture of one hand and a nod in the direction of the door that he would be running down to Fife. In the middle of serving a customer, Harry acknowledged the signal with one of his own, a signal so slight that the customer never noticed, but David caught it and understood. Signals and codes were almost a secret language between the boys. Without realizing it, they could communicate a host of messages between themselves over large and busy areas just by looking at each other. A simple twitch of an eyebrow, a bent finger tapping the nose, a very slight nod or shake of the head, all were signs and signals that had a meaning in a specific situation. They were not deliberate or learnt codes or signs, just something that they had developed among themselves, and which they all understood. For Harry, it was a precise click. For David, a short, soft whistle. And Louis would run his fingers through his hair to catch a brother's attention. Each brother had his own way of communicating with a particular sibling. Now confident that Harry knew he would be running to Abercorn, David turned on his heel and trotted down the road. It only took a minute to get there, so he was hardly out of breath when he entered the shop by the rear door. The moment he walked in, he saw his lanky brother talking to a relatively large and rotund gentleman. When Louis saw his brother enter, he almost invisibly nodded towards the right side of the store, where a woman in an elegant dress stood with her back to him. Without breaking his stride, David approached her.
"Good morning, madam," David apologized politely. "I'm sorry to have kept you waiting."
The lady turned around and he recognized that it was Mrs. Rubenstein.
"Good afternoon, Mr. Langbourne," she greeted him with a mischievous smile.
David quickly glanced at his pocket watch in surprise.
"Good grief, is it afternoon already? How are you, Mrs. Rubenstein?" "I'm exceptionally well, thank you. I have brought my daughter along to look at your silver tea set."
She glanced over David's shoulder and nodded in that direction, momentarily dropping her voice to that of a whisper.
"Do try and convince her that we need it. Hannah!" she called.
When David turned to meet Hannah, his entire world appeared quite suddenly to fall apart. Before him stood the most beautiful girl he had ever seen, someone of perfection in every aspect, with glossy black hair cascading down to frame a delicate porcelain face. She had the most liquid blue eyes and a smile that radiated pure joy.